You're listening to OEA Grow, a member-led production of the Oregon Education Association and a proud member of the Labor Radio Podcast Network. OEA Grow is by members, for members. In Season 12, educators discuss the rural school experience with Tony Myers.
Welcome to another episode of Rural Educators. We are with Ayla Olson, who is with the ESD. Ayla, go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us about your position, please.
Hey, my name is Ayla Olson. I'm an instructional coach at the Intermountain Education Service District. And through that position, I provide individual teacher support, PD for schools, districts, and regionally. And then I also support the Oregon Trail Ren projects.
Okay, can you describe the ESD's role in supporting rural educators?
And to start with this, I think we need to talk a little bit about what an ESD is. So Intermountain is one of 19 ESDs in Oregon, and they are legislatively mandated to provide services in four core areas: programs for children with special needs, school improvement, technology support, and administrative services. So within that, they do a lot for some of our, especially our smaller rural schools, but even our larger rural school districts are heavily supported by the ESD. For example, the programs with special needs, they have four special education coaches that support all of our new SPED teachers and all of our SPED teachers in general, especially with paperwork, but also with problem solving and general coaching support. They also have behavioral training, de-escalation strategies, psychologists. A lot of our little schools cannot have their own like speech pathologist. And so the ESD is able to hire that person, and they will be responsible for four or five different schools they go to one day a week to each of those areas. The technology support is the same thing. They provide tech support for a lot of our smaller schools and even some of our larger districts. And that tech support, people would not be able to pay a full-time tech to their school or find a qualified person to be out at their school. And so having access to the people resources that the ESD is able to supply, and that then goes to several districts, is a very useful service. My particular area is the school improvement services, and that's where the coaching support for general education teachers is based. And I have a lot of different particular programs. There's three coaches at Intermountain, but a lot of the other ESDs also provide instructional coaches and specialists who will support their teachers.
How do the ESDs get their funding?
That is a great question. So a lot of the ESD funding comes from state grants, and districts have to sign up for the ESD. They have an option to opt out, which allows them to keep some of that funding for themselves. And so some of the largest districts in Eastern Oregon, including Baker and Hermiston, have opted out. And even some of our smaller ones have chosen to opt out and keep that funding for themselves and hire their own people. And that's certainly an option that people can take advantage of. But the ESD also gets a lot of state grants. Intermountain ESD has the most state grants of any of the ESDs in Oregon, is my understanding. And so they get a lot of different grants for programs like early childhood grants that provides the early childhood program and services to multiple districts. I think there's six counties that Intermountain technically covers, even though those counties and some of those districts are not a part of the Intermountain ESD. And it's the same with the funding for my position. Half of that position is funded through REN, the Oregon Trail Regional Educator Network. And there's other RENs throughout Oregon that get money to provide professional development to teachers. And those are governed by teacher bodies, governing bodies that have to have at least 51% be made up of teachers. and they come together and they vote on where that money and how that money is going to be spent based on surveys and things that they do out at their schools to see what teachers in the region want. So half of my position is funded that way. And so I serve all of the districts, even the ones that opt out of ESD.
Well, I love the push for the early childhood and the fact that you guys have the ability to get those grants, because that is statewide such a big push right now at the higher level. So the fact that we're getting that money into rural schools, I think is really going to jumpstart those preschool programs, those early programs, which are so fundamental.
Okay,
so what are the benefits as well as the challenges of rural educators having access to resources, especially in the tech world that you kind of live in?
The benefits: educators have access to a wider range of professional development, to professionals, to tech support, to people resources, along with potentially program resources. And that also then on the flip side, the challenge piece of that is for individual teachers, if we're doing more of a regional PD, especially for our outlying little districts, travel and time is huge. And even for some of our PLC groups or huddle groups, job alike meetings of different teachers can be really challenging because of time and travel. And a lot of people don't like doing things online, but we've found that we have to do some of our professional development still online, and some of our meeting spaces need to be online, because you cannot travel 3 hours for an hour meeting at the end of your school day. That's just, it's not feasible. And so time and travel are definitely the biggest barriers or challenges that rural educators have in accessing resources. We try to do a lot of push out where we go to the educators, to their schools, but there's also only 3 coaches, instructional coaches at the ESD. And so there's 21 school districts, which means there's many more schools, and it's very hard to push into every single school.
Okay, so you send out a newsletter every month. Can you tell me a little bit about what you include in that newsletter? Because I know I get them.
I send out a Teach with Tech newsletter every month. My instructional coaching position is very heavily aligned to instructional technology, although technically that's not my title, but I do a lot of traveling ed tech and bringing tech instructional technology to teachers. But the newsletter is a monthly newsletter just on best practices, new or interesting technology. The last several have included a lot of artificial intelligence resources for teachers in how to incorporate it with their students and use it for themselves. And so the newsletter is really a way to reach every educator in this region. I think there's about 1,300 people that receive that newsletter, and get a little bit more information about the technology that is available to teachers. And I always try and make sure it focuses on free or has a free service embedded in it, because we're educators and we don't make a whole lot of money, and our districts generally don't spend it on a lot of the programs that teachers are like, "Ooh, I like this one or this one."
All right, tell me what your favorite best practice tip is.
Well, that's a hard one.
I do read your newsletters, so that's why I know you have them.
So I guess my favorite best practice tip with technology would be to try it. Don't be afraid to delve in. Let your students know that you are new with that technology and you want to try something new, and have them experiment along with you, or even be the teacher in the room and give each group of students a different app or piece of technology to play with, and then come back and teach the group, which would include you as the educator, how to use it and what it could be used for.
Ooh, I love that. Them each taking a different piece of technology.
And that could be a program or a robot, or
they love to be the experts on stuff.
students love to teach others, especially teachers, how to do things.
It's so true. What is your favorite experience you've had in your position?
I love being able to visit all of the different teachers' classrooms across the region. As an educator in a small school, I was very isolated to my classroom. And because I taught five different preps, I did not have time to even really get to see my colleagues within the little school I was at teach. And so I absolutely love being able to see the different expertise that so many educators have and how they bring that expertise and their love and dedication of teaching and their love and dedication to students and how that plays out differently just across the Eastern Oregon region is really amazing and fun.
So a teacher calls you for help in their classroom. What's the number one thing that you're called to help with, do you think?
I'm specifically called usually to help someone figure out how to use an app or program or an iPad with their TV or integrate a smart board activities within the classroom. And so mine tends to be more tech focused or tech centered. The other instructional coaches are often called for behavior, although a lot of that is wrapped up in special education services and so support that way. But classroom management is also probably the second largest one that I'm called for and the first one that my colleagues tend to be called for.
So if I'm having problems with Jolly Phonics and getting it to work on my smart board, I could call you and you would be able to come help me.
I might have to look it up first, but yes, ultimately that would be a part of my position.
But you speak the lingo that is in those instructional books and videos. So you understand and could decipher it a lot quicker than I could or would want to.
Yes. And I also understand how teachers use the technology. And so calling me to come and support a teacher integrating that technology effectively in their room is usually sometimes a better step than having tech support do it, since tech support is approaching it from a different angle. However, if the software or program is not working, that definitely is a tech support issue and not something I can help with.
I love what you just said there, because I love our tech support people, but as much as they want to help me in the classroom, they're not coming from an instructional road. They're coming from that tech road. And you having had the experience in the classroom, you understand the lingo that I'm speaking and what I need to happen to make it functional. So I love how you pointed out that's two different roads we're on here. Which one do I need?
Yeah, I love our tech, the technology specialists and the tech support. They are amazing individuals, but they're definitely not educators. And so I have actually loved that they have been reaching out to me and I've reached out to them, the ones that work with the ESD, and even in some of our other component districts to kind of build bridges and go, how can we make sure that we're starting to speak that same language and support each other so that we're better supporting educators in the classroom?
Love that. It's all for the kids in the end. So is there anything you haven't shared yet that you want listeners to know?
The ESD is really there to support educators. That is their main, and students. Their main goal is to support students, and by supporting students, they're supporting the educators. So all of the programs, the coaching, the special education coaches, they're there to try and help students by helping educators. So please reach out. If you're not part of Intermountain, reach out to your own rural ESDs. There are some great folks all across the state who are excellent in their positions and are ready to support you and participate. You need to participate in the programs or the programs will disappear. So making sure that your voice is heard and what you would like to see as an educator from your ESD, what kind of supports you need. Make your voice heard to your REN representative, the Regional Educator Network representative for your district, and then reach out. We want to support you, and we want to support your students.
How does an educator, if they're not aware of their ESD, how do they find them? How do they get a hold of what they need and find out what resources there are?
If an educator is not aware of which ESD they're a part of, they can ask their school administrators, or they can do a Google search online. The ODE website lists off all of the counties and which ESD. It divides up the ESDs by region, and it looks like an Oregon map with the ESDs. And so you're able to find which one you belong to. And then you can go to that website. Every ESD has a website. And then within that, you're looking for like the school improvement or some version of that. Several ESDs have different names for their school improvement division. Some are like teaching and learning. Some is just called professional development, but you would really be looking for that aspect. And under there, you would have a director's name or instructional coaches or support people who you could then call or email. Most people are really great that if you reach out and you're not the person, they will forward you to the person that you need to reach, and then also make sure to follow up with you so you know that you're not being ignored. You're being forwarded to a person who can better support what you're requesting.
I love that, because sometimes we get a little lost finding the right person. So if I see something on another ESD, am I able to join that, like a professional development opportunity? Can I join another ESD's professional development class, or do I need to ask my ESD to hold one like that?
That's a tricky question. It depends whether or not it's like where the funding for that particular professional development is coming from. A lot of ESDs are very open to allowing others to join. Sometimes they'll have a small fee that someone outside of their region would pay to participate, only because they're not receiving any funding for educators outside of their area of service. And so that's a way to kind of cover the cost of that. In my experience, most ESDs in general are pretty open to allowing other educators to come if they express an interest and you reach out.
Awesome.
On the flip side, if there's something that you really want to see, you can always request that the ESD provide that.
Ooh, I like that they're open to suggestions, because things are changing very quickly.
The professional development, depending on where it's being provided and who is providing it, coaches can provide a specialized professional development to schools. We often do. I know that I'm going out to provide some AI trainings to a variety of different schools for their in-services and even short after-school trainings for teachers in a variety of different districts across Eastern Oregon. Some of my cohorts are also doing the same thing, working with small groups, providing specialized professional development that's been requested. Our Oregon Trail REN will provide specialized professional development. We put on the Eastern Oregon Professional Development Summit that was held on the State In-Service Day in October. That was open to everyone in Eastern Oregon. And I think we had attendees from further abroad that were welcomed to come. We had over 400 people attend at Pendleton High School this year. So the largest professional development summit that we have ever put on. The REN, the Regional Educator Network, Emily Williamson did an excellent job organizing it and putting it together. So I have to say kudos to her. We helped, but it was definitely her brainchild.
So at that professional development in Pendleton, did you teach a class?
I taught classes for each of the sessions that were available, mostly based around instructional technology and artificial intelligence.
AI is such a thing, and it's coming up so fast into the classroom that as educators, we don't have a lot of time to keep up with that. So to have somebody to give us the Cliff Note version, so helpful.
And so with that, educators that are in the Eastern Oregon region, the Intermountain ESD region, and even those that are not within our ESD, I provide two of the things that I do along with the newsletter that you were talking about is provide a virtual tech talk every other month. So there's three throughout the year. And those topics range on a variety of different tech options, but the last two have been on AI. And then an in-person hour and a half huddle. Unfortunately, that's in Pendleton, so that does prevent a travel issue. That is available, again, 3 times a year, so on the off.
I like that there's an option for the online as well as the in-person, depending on your learning style.
I found that, especially with travel, providing a variety of options is the best way to engage educators. And those online ones that we hold, we are absolutely happy to have others from across the state join us.
Ooh, so welcoming. I love that. So how, if somebody from across the state wanted to join that, how would they get a hold of you?
They could email me. They could go to our coach's website. I'll provide all of that information for you. But I'm happy to answer questions or share some of the resources. Our coach's website has a variety of different information on our professional development, the coaching supports that's available for our region. Unfortunately, we're already covering 21 school districts. And so the 3 coaches at Intermountain cannot take on any more of that workload. But I'm happy to share the resources that I do have, especially around AI and technology. And that will also include on that website the dates for those different tech talks and EdTech huddles.
Okay, do you have any other resources you'd like to share with our listeners?
The ESD, each ESD should have a professional development calendar. So I recommend going there and checking the events and seeing what is happening. There's a lot of things that just don't get shared out as much as they could for a variety of reasons. But there's a lot of different opportunities. The majority of those opportunities are free for educators. And it would be great to see more educators participate in those.
Oh, you said my favorite word in there, free. Free professional development. I love that. Okay, well, thank you, Ayla, for joining us today. And please look for those resources that she listed.
For more OEA professional learning opportunities, visit grow.oregoned.org.